right. Father, I give you this day. I give you this this sermon today. Father, whatever it is you want to call it, Father, I just give you my obedience. You are so faithful. Two things I know for sure. You are good and you are faithful. And the third thing is it's not about me. And thank you, God, that it's not about me. It's about you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that in all of our nothingness, we can rely on your awesomeness. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are doing a new thing in a new day. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So, can I be real with you guys this morning? Yeah. So, busy, busy, busy week, as it is easy to do. And I went into home group Wednesday super confident in what I was going to come talk to you guys about today. And somewhere between 9 o'clock Wednesday and about 10 a.m. this morning, it's gone. Like, completely gone. Absolutely nothing. And I'm seeking the Lord. I'm like, Lord, what is it that you want me to talk about today? I had this big whole theological thing on our identity in him, and it went with home group, and it was like so me and what I wanted to do. And it just went out the window. And yesterday I went dress shopping with my boo over there. Woof woof. And that was incredible. Putting me in a room full of amazing dresses is like my equivalent of a kid in a candy store. I'm like, ah. So I had an amazing morning trying on some pretty fabulous wedding dresses with a train for days. You know, what's amazing, all right, Lord, I hear you. What's amazing is sometimes what we think we want, this big dress for days with a train down the aisle, we put it on and we realize, gosh, that's awfully heavy. I was literally doing that. I wish I was making that up, but it's not. It's so true. Then I put on this other dress that I would have never picked out. It wasn't the size of the sun like I have in my mind. Like, I keep telling Deb, like, I'm going to have a dress the size of the sun. It's going to be so big. But I put on this dress that was not the size of the sun. And the funny thing is it fit just like a glove. It fit all the right areas, covered what I wanted covered, made everything else look really good. It almost was amazing. It's funny how what we think we want to do, what we think we need, is really what's just holding us down and weighing us down. But when we get outside of our comfort zone, we really allow God to be God, we realize, wait a second, this is freedom. This is nice. Now I can dance in this. I can tear up some dance floor in this. Now don't get me wrong, I could in the other dress too, but I would take out a whole lot of people. Like, it would be like a lot of people. Anyway, which makes for great wedding photos, then. I say all of that to say, yesterday I got home from dress shopping and put that aside, and I had to go to a 4-year-old's birthday party, and then got home, and the whole rest of the evening was set aside to bring all of this together. You know, to put it in, you know, put down what God wanted to share today. And I got to tell you, I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I got to thinking about Jacob this morning. I was thinking about Jacob, about how he wrestled with the angel. You know, how God puts you in. It's like, I didn't even have the angel to wrestle with. I'm like, I could deal with this a little better if I could at least wrestle it out, right? But I didn't even have that. Like, I literally heard silence. I had nothing. No direction. Nowhere to go. And if you guys know me, that is extremely uncomfortable. That is a very uncomfortable spot for me to be in. And it's so funny what Tommy was talking about, and offering is exactly what I'm going to talk about today, because I worked on that for about, I don't know, a bazillion hours. And by the time midnight, 1 o'clock rolled around this morning, I said, I give up. I give up. I am trying to force something that is not happening. I even went back, guys, and read over sermons I've done before. It didn't make sense. I might as well have been reading from the original Greek Bible. I had no idea what any of it meant. And I'm like, these people listen to this? I'm sure it made sense in the moment, But for some reason, what I was reading, it might as well have just been a bunch of mixed up words. I couldn't even read it to where it made sense. So I was like, fine. All right, God, I got nothing. I am going to walk right into church tomorrow with nothing. That stinks. Thankfully, Pastor Deb, who knows me very well, I call her in the office right before time for worship, and I say, hey, by the way, I got nothing. Zero. We're talking right before worship. And Deb, in all her wisdom, says, oh, what I said was, you know what? I'm going to go confidently in my nothingness. And she said, you know, isn't that what life is really about? Going confidently in your nothingness. I said, I got a few good bullet points of just some good things to know. But I said, you know what? Yes, absolutely. And all through worship, finally, I could hear him so clearly and what he was saying and what he was doing. So what I'm going to share with you is a little bit of testimony with how to deal when you have nothing. You can't hear anything. You don't know what to do. You don't know what the step is. You've got it all planned out. Where's Tommy? You've got it all planned out. So what I'm going to talk about today is that point that we all get in life. And tell me I'm not alone in this. Tell me I'm not alone. That all of it, you've been walking down a path with God. You know where you're going. You've got some direction. Skipping along. Everything's fine. Then all of a sudden you look up and the path is gone. Like you just feel like you've lost your space. Does that make sense? You feel like, wait a second, God, you had me on this path. You had me going. I know that I heard you. I've been obedient. I'm walking this path. But all of a sudden you look up and you just have no idea where you are. Nothing looks familiar and you can't hear a thing from God. Now that's real life. That's real life. It happens. It happens to all of us. So what do we do in those times when we can't hear a thing from God? What do we do in those times? Is it because he's ignoring us? No. Is it because he's forgotten us? It must be, Michelangelo. Completely forgotten us. Pulled us out of the pit and then was like, boop, you're on your own. That's got to be it. It's got to be it. He sent his son to die for us, yet forgets about us. That's got to be it, right? No, that's not what it's all about. Because there's purpose in the silence. There's purpose in our weakness. I'm going to read this scripture, and I've read it before, but I'm going to read it in the Message Bible, which I haven't done. And it's 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. This is where Paul is talking about something that he's been praying about. And as a matter of fact, he's been doing a little more than praying. It says he was pleading with God. And pleading was like literal, like pleading like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane where he was sweating blood type of pleading, right? So it wasn't casual prayer. He was pleading with God. He said three times he pleaded with God over this issue he was having. And he didn't get an answer. But then when he finally got an answer, the answer was no. What do we do with that? Paul tells us. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. No danger of that. At first, I didn't think it was a gift, and I begged God to remove it. Three times I begged him, and then he told me. Then he told me, after the third time, he said, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap. I quit focusing on the silence. I quit focusing on what I felt I didn't have, and I began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in my weakness. Now I can take limitations in stride, and with good cheer, these limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, oppositions, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So what Paul is saying is sometimes it takes a minute to hear what God is saying to you. And that could be for multiple reasons. It can be just because God isn't quite ready to say it to you yet. It could be because he has something he wants you to work out first. You know, Christ loves us from the inside out, not like the world, from the outside in, right? It's all about the journey, right? It's all about the journey, where we're going, how we're growing. So he's saying, but once I realized Christ had a purpose for this weakness, once I realized Christ had a reason for things not happening as fast as I wanted to, once I realized Christ had a different plan than I had initially laid out, then I was all the more glad to say, all right, Lord, this is yours. Let's walk this out. Let's see what you have to do. Because it is in our weakness that he is glorified. Amen? Amen. Guys, that's good news. That I don't have to be strong all the time. That's really good news that I don't have to come in here with it all figured out, even though I really like to come in here with things figured out. It's really good news that I don't have to, because God is doing something today way bigger than anything I could possibly figure out. I have a feeling there's some people sitting in the seats that have been waiting for some things for a long time and have not gotten that word from the Lord on the direction on where to go. And the message today is to say, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Remember the God that has breathed the galaxies out of his nostrils, who spoke this universe into existence. The very God that formed you in your mother's womb is the same God that is sustaining your life along with all the rest of ours. You're not forgotten. There is purpose in your pain. There is purpose in your waiting. And there is purpose in a no. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So while we're waiting, what can we do? While we're waiting for an answer, while we're waiting to hear what God is going to say next, when we feel like we are in nothingness, we don't know where the next step is, there are some things we can do. The first thing is to remember what he already said to you. Go back to the last thing that you can remember that he said, and you just repeat it over and over and over again. You stand on it. You build a foundation with it, because you have to know that his word is faithful. And if he said it, he's going to do it. We don't know the time and we don't know how, but he's going to do it. Amen? Amen. So go back to the last thing he said. When God does not seem to be saying anything, rest your confidence on what God has already said. And he said, take heart. I've overcome the world. Amen? Amen. Continue praying. Don't close off communication with God just because you're frustrated. We do that. You get frustrated, and then you get busy doing your own thing or trying to fix it yourself, and you leave him out of the equation. And listen. Listen. Sometimes we just talk so much. Last night I was guilty of that. God, why can't I hear you? Why can't I hear you? What am I doing? Oh, I guess I'll do this. Then I'll read this, and then I'll do this. And then I'm like, how in the world am I going to hear anything, because I won't shut up? I'm laying on the couch. I'm like, fine, I give up. I can't hear what you're saying. I'm just going to go in there unprepared. And then I walk in. And the thing about it is the difference. You walk into what he's doing and not what you want to do. And that's a pretty awesome thing. I got a lot of healing this morning. So listen to his voice. You know, when there's catastrophes like 9/11 and things where buildings are destroyed and there's people in them, there are people whose jobs, their only job is to go in with these listening devices, listening for people that could be alive. And the devices are so sensitive, I mean, they can just pick up a heartbeat. And in all that chaos, in the building that's down, you've got, you know, emergency medical people around, you've got cranes trying to lift things, you've got all this noise, not to mention just the pain and the anguish of the situation, wanting retaliation or the anger or whatever it is, But their only job is to set all of that aside and just listen. Because if they don't, they are going to miss the very most important thing, which is the life that is in all that rubble. So taking the time to continue praying and listen, be attentive to what he's trying to say. There are so many things that compete for our attention. We are so busy. There's no time or motivation to sit down and listen. He reminds us in his scripture when he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. The other thing that comes to mind is Elijah in 1 Kings 19. When he is running from people that are trying to kill him because he was doing the right thing. And the angel comes and he says, "Go to this place, Elijah," and he does. And then he's waiting on the voice of the Lord, but three things happen that you would think is where he heard the voice of the Lord. One, there was like this great wind, you know, this great wind came in, you know, kind of like, you know, in the day of Pentecost, that great wind, and there was so much happening. But in that great wind with Elijah, that's not where he heard God's voice. Then there was the fire. There was a fire that swept in. Then there was an earthquake. All of those things happened, one right after the other, the wind, the fire, and the earthquake. But that's not where God's voice was. It was after that, in a gentle, still, small voice, God came in and gave him instruction on what to do. So sometimes we just get so caught up on even these great things that are going on, but we don't take the time aside to stop and listen. The fourth thing is to trust in God's power, not yours. His grace is sufficient. Amen. Amen. The fifth thing is to serve God right where you are. So you find yourself going along the path, you know where you're going, and then all of a sudden you look up, the path is gone, you're not sure what to do. Pray and listen and serve God right where you are. Look around, is there someone that needs you? Is there a reason you're stopped right there? We get so caught up in the, well, why am I not still on my journey? Why am I not still doing this? Well, our journeys are for each other. It's really not about us, right? It's for each other. So if we're really thinking in a God-like mindset, we get stopped. It's not woe is me and self-pity. It's wait a second. What is the purpose in my stopping right here? What is the purpose? Look around and see, what does God have you there for? Maybe it's to learn something. Maybe it's to serve somebody. Maybe it's to quiet down and stop and listen to what he's saying before the next step of your journey. We get so excited about the destination that maybe he wants to prepare us for a minute before the next step of the journey. Amen? But if we rush right through that, we miss that preparation. And then when the trials hit, and they will, we ain't ready. I like how she said, we ain't ready. We ain't ready. And to get in his word. If you're struggling hearing his voice, get in his word. Get in his word. Read the Psalms, because you'll find something you can relate to in the Psalms. There's plenty of woe is me in the Psalms, and there's plenty of watching God come through every single time for those. There's plenty of battles, and there's plenty of victories. Get into the Psalms and worship, and get in his word. I guarantee you'll hear something. I got a little light bulb moment. Do y'all know he knows what he's doing? I know that's simple, but it's big for me. I make mistakes, I goof up, I slip, I slide all over the place, but he is steady and he is faithful and he will see it through. Amen. His grace is sufficient. So if you find yourself lost, not lost from him, but just a little lost on where the next step is, guys, I'm there, I'm with you. If you find yourself lost, look for the purpose in it. Because he's trying to ready you and equip you. You see, God sees the bigger picture, He sees our beginning. He sees our middle and our end. He knows what he's doing, and I can trust in that.